It's about 21 miles and 51 years between Jamaica Plain and Sudbury. It is both strange and very good to be back here. So many old feelings and the shadows of memories come back. And good to see faces I remember from my parish, Gina Piazza, and Bruce and Marjorie Langmuir, and Rich and Sheila. Wonderful to be here. During my 10 years as the minister here, this church was the focus of my life. It wasn't just my workplace. It was also, at times, my haven. It was, for me, my circle of friends and a center of meaning. For I was a young man finding his way into his vocation and into his adult identity. And this church became very important to me in that process. I still have a small photograph of this church taken at night, at Christmas time, the lights in the windows, and that photograph symbolizes to me the wonderful warmth I felt about this congregation and this building. I felt at home here, but not in Sudbury. Not in the one mall with its five stores, not in the rebuilt Wayside Inn, lovely as it was, nor the coffee shop, nor the Bolodrome on Route 20, nor the Sphinx Café Stuga, and certainly not in the split-level ranch house on Peckham Road, which served as the parsonage and whose designer deserves a generous spell in purgatory. The one place in Sudbury where I really felt at home was the dump. It stood, as you might guess, off Union Avenue near Caviglio's Piggery. It was a small sandy circle surrounded by mounds of garbage, tin cans, newspapers, disintegrating mattresses, rusting refrigerators, crumpled bicycles, abandoned strollers, old TV sets, and all of these festooned with sheets of plastic, which snapped and ripped in the dusty and never-ending wind. Above this scene, a cloud of gray gulls wheeled and cried, diving at times for unseen prizes. Rats rustled among the rubbish. And over this small empire, my friend and parishioner, Alton Clark, presided with his dark green cap pulled low over his eyes, a cigarette pinched between his lips, driving a yellow fading tractor whose destiny among the refrigerators seemed imminent. That dump was a healing place for me when I had gone too far with plans gone wrong, when I could no longer deal with people or myself. And when Alton Clark saw me getting out of my car, he would dismount from his uncertain steed, and we would discuss the trivia of the day with thoughtful and reasoned calm. Our family left Sudbury in 1967, as Michael said, but I still remember that dump as the one place real for me in Sudbury. I bless God for those good memories. Years later, I returned to Sudbury to preach here at Deborah Pope Lance's invitation. And of course, I had to see the dump. Well, as you know, the dump was gone. And in its place, I found a recycling station, a roofed shed housing a large compactor, as I recall. There were separate containers for paper, plastic, metal, clear glass, green glass, brown glass. Appliances and furniture were arranged in neat rows. Garbage was not to be seen. Only the hopeful gulls above and the blessed fragrance of Mr. Cavicchio's hogs reminded me of the old place. But I felt no sadness. And why? Because junk was no longer junk. It was useful. Paper, plastic, glass, and metal cans would be recycled. Garbage would become fertilizer. Some appliances would be repaired and resold. The dump became a place for building a better future. Now, a brief warning. By now you must know that a preacher's mind is never satisfied with mere facts. They are only grist for the mill, artifacts to be converted into something nebulous called meaning. For if everything is, as we are told, connected, then the metaphorical minister is bound to seek out those connections. And so it was at this point in writing the sermon that I began to think of other kinds of dumps, some of them not so nice. Our society has dumping grounds for many people. The streets of my city are the dumping grounds for lost teenagers, drink and drug addicts, and elderly folks who can't afford the rent at available, supposedly low-cost apartments. The schools of our city have to some degree become the dumping ground for students whose families can't pay tuition at private or charter schools. The cheap motels in nearby suburbs are dumping grounds for people who have lost their homes. The Coast Guard station in the North End has been at least the dumping ground for unwanted immigrants. It is the real conservatives, not the self-proclaimed, who want to save such people from the dumps as these, dumps which make their inhabitants feel like garbage, where they forget that they are God's own children. I think, however, of another kind of dumping ground. I mean our minds, specifically our unconscious, filled and ever expanding with all those things which we forget because they don't seem useful. For example, from time to time now, I recall my grandmother's unheeded admonitions, chew every mouthful of food 20 times. Don't smoke anything. Look left, look right before you cross the street. I wish I'd remembered that one on September 4th, 1998. And as I get older, I remember poems, which I learned as a child, whose wisdom I didn't know until I remembered them. Such poems as, "Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees are passing, bending low, the wind is passing by." Boy, there's a metaphor. When I came to this country, I forgot so many things I saw and knew in China. Things like people making strange movements, like a dance. What could that mean to me then? Nothing. Yet when I was 60, not till I was 60, I remembered those dance-like movements and began to study Tai Chi. We are all of us discovering images which we had forgotten, dumped into our unconscious, a face, a friend, a feeling. Or we sometimes discover things, rummaging in the neglected corners of shelves and drawers. Things we'd left there years ago, a photograph, a subway token, a deck of playing cards, a faded corsage, a wedding ring. Even the back of a drawer can be a dump. Families have trouble, and they dump the troublemaker. Nobody could ever get along with her or him. So the troublemaker gets the message and leaves home and ends up on the street. But soon another troublemaker appears in the family, because the problem, of course, is not the troublemaker, it's the family. All church traditions, all of them, yes, even Unitarian Universalists, whom I know best, have their dumping grounds. Many or most of them dumped Christianity or Judaism, except for carols at Christmas and, of course, Seder at Passover. When I became a minister in 57, this process was in full swing. For reasons I can understand, and I want to come back to that, if not agree with, cross, communion, Bible, the Lord's Prayer were dropped, usually Jesus too. They seemed honestly and genuinely not relevant to educated minds. They seemed to exclude a wider wisdom which could be found in science, in literature, in poetry, in other religions. I said that I can understand that because I dumped Christianity at one point in my life. I wanted none of it. I didn't want to hear about it. Thank you very much. Let's talk about something else. I was, therefore, perhaps as divine punishment, fated to find an apartment in Cambridge right next to a Lutheran church. Only the rent was right, where early on Sunday mornings, the church bells and the cheerful chatter of happy children going to Sunday school woke me from my post-party slumbers. But in time, and only in considerable time, in my own dump, in depression, struggle, reflection, so valuable, so undesired, and so essential, I became a somewhat different person, and therefore met a rather different Jesus from the one I'd chucked, a Jesus who simply said to me, "Grow up." When what we throw on the refuse pile, what we refuse, can become a strength in our life. As the psalmist said, "The stone which the builders rejected became the cornerstone of the building." The theme of that verse comes up again and again in Judaism and Christianity. A people who were thrown into the garbage heap of slavery, become the founders of a new faith. A young boy who is consigned to take care of the sheep becomes a king. A young, unknown, and unwilling youth becomes a great prophet. The church from which Unitarianism and Universalism grew was founded among the unwanted of its society. The missionary Paul wrote the letter which I wrote to the faithful, and I'll read just a bit of that. "Remember, brothers and sisters, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were powerful or of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in this world's eyes to shame the wise. God chose what is weak to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised to bring to nothing things that exist." Now, the names of most of these early Christians have disappeared, as their founder might have, for he was put to death on the town dump outside the city walls by a form of execution reserved specifically for rebels and criminals. He was buried in a borrowed grave, no one knows where, though two sites claim the credit. They're probably selling t-shirts now. His disciples scattered, and life in Judea, Rome, Greece, and Galilee went on as usual. The founder almost disappeared into the garbage dump outside Jerusalem. But he reappeared and reappears and reappears. Dead, but damn it, he won't stay down. That's his story for the last 20 centuries. He has survived every form of crucifixion, bad sermons, to which I have contributed, bad liturgies, bad theology. He has survived the Crusades, the papacy, and Christendom itself. He has survived the pogroms, the persecutions, and the massacres which were committed in his name. He has survived his enemies and critics, more important, he has survived his disciples and his far too zealous followers. He has survived the church itself. Out of the dump and back into history, even among UU congregations, where people may not want him around, but can't quite seem to get rid of him. Flannery O'Connor wrote a marvelous novel about that. It's called Wise Blood. If you want a real intellectual chuckle, I commend it to you. He is the paradigm, this one that I've been describing, of the forgotten, the discarded, the dumped, who emerge from the subconscious or dark corners of history. I am saying these words because I hope they may move you to recall and reconsider what you have thrown away. Perhaps you will return to the dump where you left your faith, and in that place, search once again for the treasure you desire, but have not yet found, and may not find, I think, till you have picked through the refuse of your past, and only there find your future and your joy.